Yeah. You ready? Let's do it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. This week is the final round of the NRL 2020 split premiership or split season or mard season, whatever you want to call it, but the last round before the finals.
I guess you could say it was split. Like, technically it was split, but it was only two rounds to sort of start off the season before it all went pear-shaped. So,
I'll tell you what, the Broncos 18... didn't want it split.
Look, you know, well, yeah, that's right. Yeah, there were teams that clearly didn't want the to come back.
Oh, my God. This was
a bit of a marathon of a season, I think. Like, you know, 18 straight rounds. You know, no breaks for Origin or anything like that. So, you know, a lot of teams have done well to get to this point and have made the finals, and other teams have not gone so great.
And they, honestly, going by this round, we'll go through all the games. They, I think they left their best to last, most of the teams. So I don't know. I just thought every game was
some teams definitely have.
There was losers, but it was, each game felt a lot more entertaining, personally. But we'll start with the Thursday game, which it was your boys, the Cowboys, beating the Broncos 32-16. I had
zero confidence in this game.
What, Cowboys winning?
Yeah, really? I just thought it was all going to be about Murphy's Law, really. We had the Bulldogs, you know, win last week against South. And I just had this feeling that the Broncos that were going to be up for it and not get their first wooden spoon in their, 32 year club history. And look, it didn't start very well for North Queensland. Payne Huss decided to stroll over in the third minute to kick off proceedings after it looked like it was a clear tactic to sort of bomb Tabuai Fadau, and it come up trumps for him a couple of times. Like the first time that he went up for a ball, dropped it, they had a scrum, and Brisbane scored. And it's just like, here we go.
Yeah. I thought that with the second try, Darius Boyd was a bit soft too. And I thought, okay, the Broncos are up for it. It's their final game, Darius's final game.
Right.
I thought maybe that was probably the little thing with me, is that the Broncos, I didn't know, like, I had a lot of mates on speed, I won't call it speed doll, but speed message ready to go to send a nice message about them getting the wooden spoon. Because I hate the Broncos. But I thought, you're right. I thought, well, they'll be up for it because Darius's last game and just Murphy's Law. But and they were. In the first, that first sort of stint, the first 15 minutes, they were definitely up for it.
You don't really hope that it all turned for him once Katoni Staggs went down, it looked like that was a real momentum shift in the game.
Yeah. And in 10 minutes before he got injured, man, didn't he look comfortable in the 5-8 position?
And that's what he's got to be. And that's if you're going to play somebody like that in that 5-8 role, don't really have him kick a whole lot. You just need him to run the ball, challenge the line, and run forward. He looked like you could tell that he's a bit of a playmaker even out in the centers anyway, and to sort of put the ball more into his hands, looked like it was going to pay dividends for Brisbane.
I still think it will. I still think Milford's honestly natural position is fullback. So, and Darius obviously is retiring now. So I kind of don't mind. I mean, injury aside, he'll be there next year. But I don't mind Katoni in the number six personally.
No, I think that just it's a good sort of proving ground to say that he can slot in there, rather than them having, you know, 26 halves combinations this year, and you know them sort of deciding what they think they're going to do with Brody Croft and what they're going to do with their halves pairings and things like that. Like that's a lot of things, you know, for the new coaching regime that's coming into the Brisbane Broncos.
What do you think of Mr. Kevin Walters? I mean, we'll talk about the Cowboys in a second, but what do you think?
Well, I guess I guess it was always going to be the logical choice. You know, one of Brisbane's favourite sons has won a million premierships with them. So I think he always had the front running for it, and I guess now we've sort of seen a little bit of a, you know, with the topsy turvy sort of year that we've had, now that Kevy is going to be the coach of the Broncos, and now we've had Wayne Bennett who's going to slip into the Origin coach.
What I thought when I seen that is, firstly, and I listened to his interview on Fox Sports too. So, firstly, he wasn't bitter about not getting it the first time, because he clearly could have been bitter, like, you know, that, well, I have to interview for a second time, you know, or, you know, one of those things.
I guess so.
I mean, on Seabold's record, you can sort of, except for the 5 years, you can see why they hired Seabold on record alone. But I think also the second thing for him is he mentioned he wants to bring back, like, and you've alluded to it already, bring back what Mal did with the Queensland team, bring back the old. Like, he reckons the club's forgotten about the old regime. Well, not the old regime, but the history
of the club. How many legends, you know, of the sport in this country have played for the Brisbane Broncos? So they can't forget that past.
No. Well, they did, clearly, under Seabold, because they all wanted to help, and then he must have got a beer in his bottom, and they all sort of pulled out, like Tallis, you know, of all people. Tallis, you know, it's a love had that relationship with Broncos anyway, but
That's right. But, right, you know, now that Gordon Tallis has got an affiliation now with the Gold Coast Titans,
yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, that's you know, whether that was sort of, you know, if you want to think about it, whether that was done out of not so much spite, but, you know, to just go, oh, well, you know, there's another team down here in Southeast Queensland that does, you know, want my help and does want my influence.
Yeah.
And I'll go down there and help them.
Yeah, yeah, that's
this,
right.
This is a former captain, you know, an absolute legend wearing the Brisbane Broncos jersey in Gordon Tallis.
Yeah. Former Queensland it's captain, just, former, yeah. So sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree with that. I'm not taking away from how great the Cowboys played. I mean, they played a lot better than they have in previous games. I mean, Kyle Felt with those three tries, was, well, I'll say was, because he was the leading try scorer for the year up until a couple of games later, which we'll talk about later.
It only took 24 hours.
I think you've said it before anyway, or probably even off air, but he's consistent enough at least to wear a Maroons jersey just because of his positional play.
I think so.
It's his defense.
Some of his defensive decisions this year have left much to be desired, where he sort of jumps out of the line a little bit too quickly. And then, you do that in Origin and you get punished in first grade rugby league. He does that in Origin and, you'll get punished tenfold because they just won't stop going at you. So, that's what the good teams and the good players will do. Look, I think he'll do an admirable job, and he'll be a good weapon for him in the high ball game, you know, on the try line.
Yeah.
So, you know, to take advantage of probably not so tall. You know, I don't think Daniel Tupou is going to get a shot on the wing. So, that'd be a good battle in itself. You know, if Tupou's on one wing and Kofeld on the other,
Daniel Tupou would get a shot. Sorry, you do or you don't?
Oh,
but New South Wales.
No, I don't think so. No, really? I don't think so. I think there's more players out there that are probably in better form than what Daniel Tupou has been. Yeah, Daniel Tupou missed like 8 weeks too this year as well. So,
New South Wales. Yeah, look, 1,000 people to pick from.
I think that's right too. I think he would do a good job. In the maroon jersey, I could definitely see him there. Look, some of the Cowboys tries, like the one that was sort of taken away, that where Tabu Ifedo was offside.
Off the new rule.
Look, you watch that play. you watch Drinkwater, you could tell it was coming.
Yeah.
And Drinkwater was that half a second too slow. He double pumped the pass just to try and get the defensive line to look away from him.
Yeah.
And as if he doesn't do the double pump,
yeah,
that's a try. But he pumps, he double pumps it again. Tabuai Fido was gone. And once he kicks it, he's a meter and a half offside.
And that's where the new rule come in, because the try was awarded. And during that time, when they were set up for the kick, to get the extra 2 points, they've disallowed the try because the bunker's been able to look at it. And right, so. I suppose, what the rule's in for, personally. I thought, and he's just getting back to form. He only played 41 minutes, but, man, Jordan McLean looks like he's coming back to how he was at the Storm and how he started at the Cowboys. You know, he was great in that game. You know, for only 40 minutes, but he ended up chalking up 140 meters.
When they picked him up last year, I thought it was a terrific buy for them. And I think he had a little bit of a hamstring problem there last year.
Yeah.
And then this year he sort of had a few little niggling injuries. But, yeah, he's looking like he's getting back. And obviously it's a little too late.
Yeah.
But getting back into tip-top form, whether or not the New South Wales selectors will sort of come to the party and maybe, I don't think so, but, you know, and maybe give him an origin berth. But that's only good news coming into an off-season next year,
yeah.
You know, with the off-season coming up, and obviously 2021 season. I guess the preseason will be a little bit shorter than what it has been in previous years.
Yeah.
You know, I thought Drinkwater, even on the odd occasion, his hands have let him down this year. But
he was playing
out of his mind in that game.
They looked comfortable with each other, which hasn't happened whole year.
So Feld's last try to get him the hat trick. That pass from Drinkwater was a 20-meter cutout pass. Like, that was unbelievable. It was just a 20-meter rocket cutout pass.
Yeah.
And you see Oates just sort of come in, and it's just like, oh, no, too late.
as soon as he had that one little step in, you knew it was good. Too late. So
That Cowboys right hand side, the defensive the defensive left hand side for the Broncos was a disaster.
That's right.
Congratulations to the Brisbane Broncos. You know, it's only taken you 32 years to get your first wooden spoon. You should be pretty happy with that.
Man, you and I both, you could just look on the Facebook alone and there's 1,000 Broncos friends. And weren't they happy about that? They reckon they deserved it.
I've got people at work that are suicidal over the Broncos being so catastrophic this year.
So
it's just
good.
It's fantastic. It's terrific. It. Nothing really brings a smile more to my face than obviously the result of this game. But once again, I said it all throughout the year. Just the absolute disgraceful entitlement of Broncos fans. Not all of them, but you know, you see it out there. It's just unbelievable entitlement to think that, hey, we don't rebuild and this doesn't happen to us. And here it is. It's on your doorstep, and it's on the doorstep of your league's club and your training facilities and wherever else.
All those wooden spoons that got thrown around.
That was so good.
A team in Queensland that, again, I said this last week and happened again, that's on the way up. And if they had, you know, a few more rounds, they would have made the top eight. The Titans, look, demoralizing the Knights, 36-6. My God, they were phenomenal. Well, AJ Brimson in particular, your boy.
No, well, that's my boy. But, you know, five wins on the trot for the Gold Coast now. And it's been a few years since they've strung that sort of form together. But yeah, they only end up 2 points out of the eight. Their four and against has worked against them, like compared to what Cronulla had. So yeah, their four and against was a little disgraceful. Even after this 30-point win, they got the jump on Newcastle, and they just didn't let up.
Yeah. That's and the person that didn't let up, and he got the first try, but it was Ash Taylor. He finally, to me, took control of that Titans side. And Jamal Fogarty's been great, and he still is great. That's clearly the way, their way forward. But Ash Taylor took control of that game, as he should.
No, that's right. That's he's a million-dollar player. And, you know, I guess sort of happiness is a big part of the game. And it's a game of confidence as well. But he looks, he looks happy in the way that he's playing. He looks happy in the way that the team is playing and that the team is going forward. Looks like, him and Jamal Fogarty are forming quite a good partnership. Even though Jamal Fogarty has, he's sort of come from, a Q Cup sort of background. I think he won one or two premierships at the Burleigh Bears. I think he had a bit of a chop at first grade at Parramatta, I think. And then, basically got sent packing back to the Queensland Cup. And then the Gold Coast have brought him in. He's been a necessary bring in the halves, with the injuries to Tyrone Roberts and him being sort of in and out of form as well. And he stamped down that number seven spot to the point where Justin Holbrook has made him the captain.
Yeah.
And that's huge raps on Jamal Fogarty.
Because he has that leader mentality. I mean, Ash Taylor, I never liked the adage of just because you're getting paid the most money in the side, that just automatically means you're the captain. No. If you're not a leader, but that's the mentality sometimes. And if you're not I just have to be a natural leader, but if you're not a talker or a leader, like Milford isn't, and Milford is getting paid heaps, and he's a quiet sort of guy. So if you're not like that kind of person, then you can't be captain. And Fogarty looks like a natural leader. He comes across
absolutely. Yeah. He steers the ship around well. Yeah. Maybe something that he could work on in the off season is getting a little bit quicker.
I kind of agree. I think he's not big, but he's not. I think he could be a bit fitter. Maybe, I don't know.
No, some guys that are smaller guys like that, they can just be slow. And he might just be one of the, I don't think Mitchell Pearce is going to be setting any speed records or like, there's halves that are out there that aren't, that their greatest attribute isn't speed. One thing I do like and what has happened over the last few weeks now that they know that, Jai Arrow was sort of winding down his Gold Coast career heading to South next year is putting, Tyrone Peachy at the 13. And I think that is putting a big smile on his face. And he looks to be much happier in the way that he plays at the moment now that he's getting, I think he played 65 minutes in this game, but he's got that spot now that he's sort of locked down instead of being that Mr. Fix-It, being slotted into the centers, on the bench, into the second row. He's been a sort of jack of all trades. But I think now going forward, I think they will keep him at that 13 in the lock position, and hopefully continues on good form.
I think, I talk about natural players. I think that's his natural position because he can throw a ball.
No, that's right.
He's probably lost that step of speed that he had when he went there because he playing in the center, not too much, but probably lost a little bit.
If you're going to put him in the forwards, that doesn't matter.
No, that's right. So that's why I think it's sort of natural position. We talked about it before we started, but probably won't touch too much on the alleged racial slur that was said.
It was definitely an unsavory part of what happened to the game. It doesn't really need a whole lot of light. They've all come out and said there's absolutely no place for it in the game. The person who they're talking about, well, they think is Mitch Barnett. He's come out and made a statement. Tyrone Peachy is adamant that he's heard, the things that he's heard, and he doesn't want to back down, and which is totally fine. Like, that this sort of stuff can't happen on the field, off the field, anywhere. So, But it's going to it's it looks like it's turned into a classic he said she said.
Because Mitch Barnett seems a little bit, and like you said, it's probably he said she said. We don't know, but man, he looks.
Mitch Barnett seems genuinely hurt by the accusation.
Yeah, very distraught.
I don't think it really sort of needs a whole lot more sort of said about that. Like you said, you know, it turns into, you know, well, I heard this hasn't heard that.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody's going to come forward and say, yes, I've heard this, then we've got, you know, if there's no audio of it, then I don't think there's a lot that really can happen. And I guess as much as you don't want to say we just have to move on from it. Like that's a poor attitude about it. But unless there's some sort of evidence to it and not just Tyrone Peachy coming out and saying that, if a Newcastle Knights player has heard it, if another Gold Coast Titans player has heard it, if a touch judge, if a referee has heard it, somebody captured on the audio, then we've got a case.
Yeah, I agree.
Nothing like that has come out right now.
Yeah.
And that's all we can do.
I mean, besides the fact anyway, the biggest thing that let the Knights down was their forward pack. Man, their forward pack was terrible trying to get meters. I think
they're coming off their line a lot too, and they just I don't know why they just didn't really look up for it.
The Clemmer was probably the only one that actually was the only one that got over 100 meters. So you're right, they didn't look up for it,
and they've got it all to play for to finish fifth or sixth to get themselves a home final, and they bombed that chance.
But that's the thing, it didn't look like they just seemed to be. I don't know. They took it. I agree. They took it as who cares kind of thing, and they took it like, well, it doesn't matter where we're finished, we're still going to be in the finals anyway. Not that you'll get a home final, but yeah, they were not great at all. They were terrible.
It was just befuddling the way that they played. Like, you know, they only made two line breaks in the game. The Gold Coast made nine. It just looked very, very lethargic by Newcastle. And if that rolls into, you know, if that rolls into the finals, then, you know, it's been a while since they've been in the finals, and, you know, essentially them not making it last year cost Brownie's job, and you know, if they're going to be an easy out this week, then, you know, I don't know where they go. You know, they've still got plenty to grow on.
I was nearly going to do a Chuck or Charles Barkley for anybody that doesn't know footy wise. I guarantee then I don't see him moving past the first round at all in the finals, but. I guess we'll see this sort of weekend. A team that, I mean, they played the Bulldogs, but, you know, just flexing their muscles. Next game was the Panthers, 42-0 over the Bulldogs. There's probably not much to talk about in this game, purely for the fact of just they're playing the right game at the right time. They're just from 1-17. They're great. This is the Panthers. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I think that was the thing. Like, I think the Bulldogs had enough possession inside the Panthers 20 to at least get some sort of result, you know, attacking wise. You know, instead of just a couple of dropouts that they forced, they just could not crack Penrith defensively at all. Like, you know, I think it was close to the end of the game. They had nearly double the amount of possession. Of what, inside the Panthers 20 than what the Panthers had inside the Bulldogs 20.
That's right.
And that's a telling stat that they're very, very inept. And look, it's essentially bottom versus top. They were very, very inept, offensively again, in this game. So, and it just, you know, you see a lot of the times there, they've got, you know, a high completion rate, and, you know, in most games, you know, an 83% completion rate is terrific, but they were just very inept, like zero line breaks. Like Penrith were just too classy defensively, and they just had them shut down.
That was the biggest difference. It was the missed tackles for me from the Bulldogs. They, 37 over 16 missed tackles. But you're right, like Panthers, that while their completion rate wasn't the greatest, they were below the Bulldogs at 76%. When they did have that possession, and the time of possession, which again was only 51%, they capitalized. That was pretty much it. They were able to break that line really easily. So
yeah. Look, they had a bit of the scoreline wasn't actually looking too bad. It's sort of 4-0 going into the last 10 minutes of the first half. And then, yeah, Penrith just goes boom, 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 three tries before halftime. Yeah. And you're going into the halftime locker rooms just not so much demoralized, but you would have been high on confidence if they had gone in at 4-0 or 8-0. It all of a sudden it's 22-0 at halftime, and you're like, we're not really in this game, you know. If we can score a couple of tries, like, it just all of a sudden it's 22-0 at halftime, and that was essentially all she wrote, I guess.
I tell you what, as just on like the 20-man squad, that Kurt Capewell, he's a Queenslander. It's not a bad guy to sort of throw in there, just as sort of like a roughie sort of. You know,
I am hearing his name mentioned. So
yeah,
it's it begs the question. Like, it's going to be a big squad. By both teams anyway. It's going to be a 27-man squad anyway. So they're going to have coverage for essentially all positions. So he could definitely be in that 27-man squad.
Are they doing that because they're keeping him in the bubble, or is that how it is, or just sort of?
I think so because they want to keep everybody. I guess because there's no more football afterwards, so they want to keep. They've got a big squad, then they can keep them training the way that they want them to train. You know, get into structures that they want them to have for Origin, so they don't just come into the Origin series, you know, green with no form, no footy being played. So to have them in there is only going to be good for, you know, their development. They're going to be in there with the best of the best.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that'll definitely be a part of it.
Next game was the Raiders, just coming over to the Sharks, 38-28. It was pretty entertaining, that game. Oh, I thought it was very entertaining.
Yeah, look, I thought that Cronulla didn't really do themselves a lot of favours with this game. At times, they were a little embarrassing against a Canberra side that is resting 8 players, and all 8 players are representative. It was just, I couldn't make heads or tails really of this game. You know, I thought that Cronulla should have been a whole lot better. In this game, the Canberra's two halves have come in and basically played zero football this year. In Frawley and Sam Williams, who they named the captain, which was just that in itself is extremely strange.
Sam Williams, the captain.
Yeah, precedence. Do you know what I mean? Like, he hasn't played any game. He hasn't played any football this year, and he just comes straight in and is the captain of the side. So
I sort of get that, but then if you look at their 1-17. Sam Williams has I get what you're saying, but he has experience. I don't think I would have gave it to anybody else, to be completely honest. Maybe Kotrick, but you're not going to give it to a winger. So
no, not necessarily. And you're not going to give it to a winger who's going to a rival club next year either. So that's not going to happen. But
I agree. It was a weird game. It was a little bit like what the Knights sort of did. Like, the Sharks weren't. There was no way they were going to get above 8th anyway. And they just sort of, sort of played the motion. This is a game they should have won. They played with the motions and didn't work. Because, this is a game they should have won. Because, like you just said, Raiders rested a lot of players. And, you know, getting to have some sort of form coming into the finals. And they didn't. So, it was weird. It's like they weren't trying as well. Same as the Knights. It's just like, okay, we're going to be in the top 8. It really doesn't matter where we're going. You know, we're not going to go any higher. Then, sort of, who cares? Like putting Wade Graham at 5'8" was a weird one for me. I don't know why they put him there. It was kind of a weird position for him, to be honest. Personally,
he hasn't played. He hasn't played there in a couple of years. I don't think he's. Mm-mm. I don't think he started a game with Cronulla in the 5'8" jersey. He might have ended up being there. I think they said the last time that he's played 5'8 was when he was when he started a game of 5'8 when he was still at Penrith.
Yeah.
So look, he can get the job. He can get the job done there.
Done.
But it just if they were going to do anything, then it had to have been somebody like a Sean Johnson next to him, not Connor Tracy. So it just. I don't know. It was just, it was a bit of a funny one. I really thought that they should have had the enough gun to be able to knock off Canberra. And it just, it's, I mean, at times they were just embarrassing. It's clear, you know, I think it's been clear to everybody that, Andrew Fifita is just simply not the damaging ball runner, you know, the wrecking ball, the cannon ball that he used to be. He's hampered by something. He's slow offensively, he's slow defensively. Like, you can really take advantage of him in your defensive line. So I just thought it was a bit of a funny one there, but I think Andrew Fifita pumped out like 40 something minutes or something like that, but it just, you know, it's glaring that he is just, especially this year, that he is just simply not the player that he used to be. All credit to essentially the baby Raiders that come out there, and they were full of running, and they didn't shy away from the moment at all. Tom Starling, like, he has been a revelation for them at dummy half.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, considering. Well, obviously because Hodgson got injured. Yeah, it's amazing, to be honest. It's
They had Avili sort of go in there, and he's more of a stocky sort of eyes sidewards dummy half rather than an eyes up dummy half. Yeah. And Tom Starling, you know, he's just been in stellar form. He made a couple of line breaks, you know, nearly 50 tackles. He just seems to be in everything. I think he was the one. I'm pretty sure he was the one that put that chip through. He made the line break, put the chip through for Sam Williams to score right under the sticks.
Yeah.
Which was a sensational try and a good sort of run for Tom Starling. You know, I think he had three line breaks in that game.
Yeah.
The Raiders just did not shy away from this game at all, and they look pretty good.
And on the back of that too, they not straight after, but just before this week, they signed Tom Starling to a new 2-year contract. So clearly they see a future in him. Clearly.
Well, that's right, and that sucks for him too, because he's going to be the clear number two behind Josh Hodgson. But
but he could possibly play the guy that like 14. That.
You've got to. That's, I mean, if he's going to be one of your best 17 players, then Ricky Stewart just has to find somewhere to play him.
Yeah.
That's going to be on the coaching staff then.
Yeah, that's right. Apologies, I sort of skipped a couple of games. We'll go back to the Friday night game, probably the most perplexing sort of game this week. The Rabbitohs beating the Roosters 60-8. No one's seen that coming.
No,
and it wasn't like
the Roosters see, were not I just under didn't strength. See. I didn't see that one coming.
No, I did not see that coming. I did not. You know, we said it about 24 hours later. That's why apologies for sort of missing that. But I did not see Alex Johnston getting 5 tries and then sort of scooting past to get top try scorer.
He shouldn't have got 5 tries anyway, but anyway.
No, he shouldn't have got 5.
He probably should have had 4. Like, he was gifted, absolutely gifted one, which I was not very impressed with that night.
No, yeah, okay, I understand. But, I mean, besides the point, like, Rabbitohs just everything. Their completion rate was great. Their possession in time, 61% over 39%. I still can't work out what happened to the Roosters, because they were enough full strength. They were nearly full strength.
Well, look, they started well, like that first 10 minutes, and you know, Josh Morris scores in the third or fourth minute. You know, after they'd only had a couple of sets of 6, and it, and then just all of a sudden, the switch was flipped, and the avalanche of points by South just began. Like that, and the thing is too, like, a couple of pretty poor, and a lot of people like to go out there and say uncharacteristic mistakes by the Roosters. If you look back through this year, the Roosters have had a bottom half of the league completion rate all year. So to say that these mistakes are uncharacteristic, I think is a little bit false, because they've been prone to errors a lot throughout this year. But a couple of errors sort of led directly to South's tries, which, yeah, that didn't really help, especially in that first half. Yeah. And once, you know, you go into the sheds at 26-4 down, like the Roosters are like, oh, okay, like can we turn this around? And it didn't happen.
No, it didn't happen. I thought, you know, Roosters, they'll come out of the half, at least sort of, I guess, make it sort of challenging. But my God, I don't know what they were thinking, what they were doing.
I don't know.
I don't think they took them for granted.
They just put up no fight. Look,
yeah, that's probably the best way to put it.
Johnston had a hat trick. He had a hat trick of tries in like 5 minutes or 6 minutes, you know, in that last 10 minutes. And they just kept going down the left hand side, and Ikavalu, you know, who unceremoniously put five tries on North Queensland earlier in the year, he just got scorched over and over and over again. They kept going down that side, especially in the last 10 minutes, and he just got burnt every single time.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, you know, they sort of, he probably should have finished with 19 tries and not 20, but that's a story for another day. But it just, I mean, it just, I just don't know what happened to the Roosters. You can't just come out there and say, oh, it's just one of those games when you've had 60 put on you. 60!
It's not so much that it was clearly an upset. It was the amount of points, like 60 points.
Did I see right as well in somebody saying that the Roosters have never, ever, they've been around since 1908, have ever had 60 points put on?
No, I didn't read that. Well, no, okay, maybe. I don't know. Like, this is the Sydney Roosters. I know we sort of say, you know, at this modern times, how good they are.
They've got 112. They've got 112 years of history. Like, you know, surely they've had, a shocker in them every now and then. But I should have written that down. I think I might have just heard it in passing or while I was driving, listening to footy on the radio. I didn't get a chance to absorb it, but they're the two clubs that have been around that are still around since 1908. You know, obviously the Rabbitohs had that little bit of hiatus there in the early 2000s. I hope I've got that right. In saying that, this is the first time that the Roosters have ever had 60 points put on them. Like, I guess that could be fairly easily researched, but,
I would at least say, while I'm researching it right now for you, I would at least say that's surely their biggest loss against South, surely. So
52 points. Yeah, I think that would definitely have to be up there. Look, so, if I had Big League in front of me, I'd be able to sort of look
right
it up
now in front of me. So that's a bit their biggest South loss, yes, but it's not their biggest loss altogether. Their biggest loss is 56-0 against Manly in 2007. So definitely against South, but not the overall.
But most points scored.
Yes, it's 60 is the most points scored against them. 100%.
No, actually, I did absorb that. Very good. Well done, brain.
So, you weren't drinking at the time, obviously, because you were driving.
No,
so.
I was driving. I'm pretty sure I would have been driving home from work. So,
of course you weren't. Probably, that's what you're trying to say.
Yeah, no, they're definitely, unfortunately. Look, Jake Friend being hurt in this game as well.
Sorry, I'm wrong. 62-0. 62-0. They 62-0 against South. So,
wow, when was that?
Yeah, that was in 1996. So,
whoa,
yeah, interesting.
All right, wouldn't have picked that. All right, so maybe the ABC had that one wrong. All right, I'll put my thing wrong on the ABC.
I think your brain's half there. but you're right. I mean, going back to Jake Friend, that injury wasn't great in the third minute because he's been, you know, consistently great for them this year.
consistently.
No, that's right. When he's been there, now they're going to have the young kid Lussick come in and play dummy half for him in the final. So it'll be interesting to find out how long Friend is going to be out for. Will he be out for the Origin series that's imminent? And that totally leaves the door open for Harry Grant to be the Queensland number nine.
That's exactly right. I'm sorry, Wikipedia is just screwing me around. Their biggest loss is against Canberra, 66-4 in round 5 of 1990. That is an official confirmed Wikipedia result. So
the Wikipedia result, great.
Yeah, 62 points. Yeah, I know. I agree, but funnily enough, that was just looking at Wikipedia, which this is right. That was Trent Robinson's 200th game, so for coaching the Roosters. So yeah, not great for.
No, well, that's right. Well, he said in the press conference afterward, you know, that they were just horrible and embarrassed and everything like that. Yeah, like I said, you know, you don't just want to come out and just dismiss it and go, hey, these things happen, but yeah, getting knocked off.
That's not what these things happen.
Having 60 points put on you is just, those things just don't happen.
A shock loss is a shock loss. But 60 points is not that gets just that's right. Just to happen. There's no
and
way.
I think they're coming out and saying that no premiership winner ever has ever had 50 points put on them in a regular season game.
That is 100% true.
Are you putting a line right through a Roosters repeat?
while that's true, it's still hard to put it through. So.
Oh no, absolutely. But you know, I like to say at work, trends don't lie, but you know, I'd hope to think that that stats don't lie either. And you know, we've got 112 years of history, so that's a pretty good trend to go on.
Well, I'm not saying that what the theory's wrong, but I'm just saying that it's hard to put a line through a Roosters team that just because they have one big loss that. It's going to happen, but I don't know. I mean, my boys, Melbourne, well, except for this round we're talking about, are still in there with a chance. So, but we'll talk about the Melbourne storm soon.
The Melbourne rain depression, because they certainly weren't a storm.
No, they weren't. But the next game was the Eels beating the Tigers 28-24 in what looks like Benji's last game, at least for the Tigers. I don't know, being last game Tigers, overall.
Yeah, I think a team would be smart to go out there and pick him up. Whether it just depends on how much he would be sort of looking for, whether he just wants to come out. And he seems genuinely, you know, interested in playing on and not so much sort of playing for a big paycheck. I think he genuinely is just interested in just playing rugby league and not, you know, not out there for the money. He's just got such it's come out this year. That he's just got such an unbelievable passion for the game, a passion for the West Tigers. He wants to deflect all of the attention away from him and put it on the club. And especially this game, you know, Chris Lawrence retired or is retiring at the end of this year as well.
Yep.
So, you know, he wanted to put all the focus on him, which, you know, which is, you know, a testament to Benji and, you know, and what he sort of, you know, that's, I mean, what he's, yeah, you know, everybody's going to be known for their things, and he was a very young man when he won the premiership in 2005. You know, a sort of game that we shall never speak of ever again, and that I've never watched again.
That was,
watching it live.
I know, but that flick pass was.
Look, if Pat Richards drops that, then I'm having a totally different conversation.
Just going back to what you said.
If Rod Jensen could just have tackled him and not get palmed off by Pat Richards, we're talking about something else. Anyway,
I thought you wanted to talk about something else. I'm trying to deflect from that.
Hashtag not bitter.
Clearly not. in saying that, for what you just said, like being like the club mentality and all, there's one team to me that really deserves, probably not the best word, but the one team that clearly would value for someone like that. And to me, that would be the Brisbane Broncos. Imagine having someone that's thinking that. I know, but I get that. But the way he's thinking at the moment and the way Brisbane is at the moment, even if it's just a stopgap for that 1 year, just, you know, because there's no one else in the market, just to mentor Tom Deanan, the way he's, like you just said, the way he's been thinking,
It's not, and he can get him on the cheap. It's not a bad pickup. Put Milford.
Oh no, absolutely. Oh, I think that could be a super buy. For the Broncos, I think he'd be able to help a lot of teams. You know, could he come in and help the Bulldogs? Do you know what I mean? Like they need help in many positions. But I think Benji could be, definitely handy for a team like the Brisbane Broncos who just might need that cool head, that little bit of experience in the halves to help sort of mentor along Tom Dearden.
Bulldogs probably aren't a bad option for the fact that if Blake Green's going to be here possibly for this entire next year, then Benji wants to play at least 1 year. It's not a bad option when you sort of think about it. It'll be interesting.
No, that's right. But I don't think Benji would be real happy if he sort of gets halfway through the season and then all of a sudden Blake Green's good and healthy and then he's out the window. So I think he's got more of a chance of sort of securing down the number six at somewhere like the Broncos help along the young half Tom Dearden there. So, Look, this game, I think this game, it just come down to goal kicking. I think just not so much plain and simple, but, you know,
I agree.
It absolutely did. They scored 5 tries apiece.
Yeah.
And Adam Dewey was the one that was kicking. He couldn't hit the side of a barn.
Yeah, he got that one. They would have won because they got that one penalty goal. And you're right, the kicking let them down. But for me, for Parramatta, while they won the game, I felt like they just sort of sneaked a little bit, just sort of snuck by that game. I don't think...
Well, going into the last 20 minutes, they were behind.
Yeah, as a top four side, you're right. It's just like they just sort of passed that game. It wasn't becoming, I guess, of a top four team. They did what they had to do, and that's fine. And I just don't think they did enough, purely because, like you just said, the only thing that let the Tigers down was their goal kicking. So
yeah, no, exactly. It just and yeah, as we sort of talked about Benji as well too, like he got hurt early in this game and he got hurt in multiple areas, which was kind of a crappy way for him to sort of end his West Tigers career, being essentially limping off and not coming back. So and it looked like he had a bit of a nasty limp still after the game. So I'm sure that there's going to be that burning desire for him to sort of come back.
Yeah.
If he can't get a gig in the NRL, I'm sure he'd be looking at England. But who the hell knows what's going to happen with the Super League at the moment? Like, they've gone back to playing without crowds at the moment.
And he's got a half decent career at Fox Sports too, so I don't know.
That's right. He gets his little stints on NRL 360 and stuff like that. So, I still think he's got a genuine passion for the game, and just the way that he's played this year, I think he could still carry on and give it that one more year if somebody's willing to give him a chance.
Next game was that'll be interesting, although they finished on a high. Imagine if he went to this team, the Warriors, beating the Seagulls 40-28. I mean, that'd just be like a Cinderella kind of thing, I suppose, if you sort of think about it. But Cody Nikorama's been playing consistently pretty good there this year.
Well, their halves combination has been fairly consistent most of the year with Nikorima and Harris Tavita.
Yeah.
Who I think if they were giving out, like a most improved player in the league, I think Harris Tavita for mine, I think he would get it.
Yeah, that's interesting, actually.
He's been excellent this year.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with like Harris Tavita. My thing is that it's interesting that they don't do something like a most improved player. That's not a bad idea. A lot of sports do most improved.
Not a bad idea.
They do that in the junior leagues. Trust me, they do it in the junior leagues. And it used to go to the ones that you sort of, when I was playing juniors, it used to want the player that everyone felt sort of sorry for, but that sort of changed. because it actually then went to whoever was most improved. So, that's actually not a bad idea. I'm surprised they haven't looked into that because
everybody, like you just said, it's in every sport, and all the junior league people would know about it. So you're right. I think he, with the bubble that they've been in, like they,
everybody, and that's, I mean,
they
that
have
is
been
an,
in the bubble.
An absolute testament to the Warriors for to do what they've done, the sacrifices that they have made, in, you know, in staying in Australia to keep the competition going, and you know, they're obviously, they'll be going home now. Who knows? Well, they're going back into quarantine, I guess, and then they'll be home in a couple of weeks. But and for them to sort of finish on a high like this as well, you know, Manly have just leaked points over the last month. Like them defensively has just been diabolical, horrendous. Just whatever sort of adjectives that you'd like to use, a disaster. They just defensively, they just cannot stand up. They've got plenty of points in them.
Like, oh, they put 21
points on, and they missed, you know, Ruben Garrick, who last year I thought had a pretty good year. I thought he's taken a little bit of a step back this year, and he kicked a little bit like a mule in this game. And so did Harris Tavita. Like this game should have been even more high scoring than what it was.
They, you know, talk about a fall from grace. So I, just for Manly, I suppose, in particular, they fell. So the last seven games, they won one game. So they were fourth, fifth, and then they end up finishing 13th for the season. So that's, I was trying to work out what it attributed to, because I was saying last week, I'm clearly going to apologize. I was going to say Daily Cherry Evan hasn't really stepped up, but you know, talking about he was consistently pretty good this year. I thought
he has been pretty good. With the limited options that he sort of got around him, like even though like their backline is still
is still not
the greatest. You know, they've had, you know, George Tafua missed time early in the season. Moses Suli has missed time throughout this year. Like, you know, they're key
big time
strike weapons.
Bitch. Tommy.
Dylan Walker.
Yeah.
You know, got hurt early in the season.
Yeah, good point.
Come back, played 6 minutes of football. He gets hurt again. Yeah. You know, they've tried Lachlan Croker at the 5'8 position. They've tried Cade Cust, who I thought played really well in a lot of games that he did play in the 5'8 position alongside Cherry Evans. Like, he's just a tough little nugget.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's something that Manly may address in the off season. Who to pair up if they want to continue on with the. I think it could be a good combination of Custon and Cherry Evans, but they just need to get those key guys back healthy.
Yeah, it's going to be
Kieran no more Foran. Key person.
Kieran
no more.
Foran's
well, that's right. Kieran Foran is looking like he's he'll be back there. So yeah, forgot about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's key guys like, you know, keeping Tafua healthy, Suli, and, you know, one, Tom Trbojevic. Like,
he is
just the absolute catalyst that keeps that team relevant, I guess. Like, look at their record without him. Like, it's just, you know, Jake Trbojevic is a terrific player up front, and they've got two of the best prop forwards going around, you know, in Marty Tapao and Aiden Fanua-Blake. It's just... Now, Aiden Fanua-Blake's not going to be there. He's gone to the Warriors next year, so they've got to try and fill that
terrible
position.
Loss, personally.
That's huge.
That's huge loss. But with Tom, as much, don't get me wrong, as much as I'd love to see him in the New South Wales squad, I think either him or someone at least in Manly should get in his ear and not let him play this year in New South Wales.
Absolutely.
Because
he needs to get his body right. It's hamstring injury, shoulder.
Yeah.
It's just an array of things that have sort of troubled him over the last couple of years. Okay, let me put it to you this way. If it wasn't State of Origin at the end of this year and it was a Kangaroo tour, do you reckon he'd be pulling out of it?
Of course he would be pulling out of it.
Absolutely he would be. And that is the thing that pisses me off so much about the amount of exposure that Origin gets compared what playing for your country gets. And that's all I'll say about that. But I guarantee you that if this was a Kangaroo tour at the end of the year, he just would have went, nah, not going to play.
Yeah. You know why, but hey, you know why the biggest, I shouldn't say it's always the case, but the problem with, and the biggest problem is because of the amount of money that the State of Origin get, they kept paid more money to play Origin than the Australian squad.
It shouldn't be like that, though. Like, just because you get paid a little bit more money, it's about the prestige.
Don't get me started. But personally, I think he should be rested. We have New South Wales. I mean, have plenty.
Oh my God! Like, it's just
of other options. We don't need him. It'd be great to have him. There's plenty of other options. So, last game was, well, for me, and I know the other points for 6-8, but for personally, it was a shock at the round. I know we were under strength, but Dragons beating the Storm 30-22. Yes, it was a makeshift Melbourne Storm side.
Yeah, look, I don't think it was that much of a shock, like, honestly, but I think it was more the shock that, you know, St. George Illawarra have just been playing pretty poor football over the last little while, and to sort of look like that, that they strung together, you know, nearly 80 minutes of competent football is a shock in itself.
No, that's fair. No, that's fair. I mean, for me, and I'm probably stepping on my start in the week, but I don't care, so I'll mention it now. Like, Cameron McGuinness, you know, talk about a guy, I mean, most improved even. Like, talk about a guy that will clearly be the Dragons player of the year and should get an Origin jersey. My God, he played well in that game.
The Dragons this year haven't had... Look, they've had some standout players like Lomax and Ewan Aiken.
Yeah,
You know what I mean? Like, it's just... Consistent. Yeah, Matt Dufty. Like, yeah. they've had some good players this year. They just haven't been able to string it all together.
Yeah, I just think McGuinness was just consistently, like, line breaks. You know, he tackled a lot. He got 44.
He's a machine with the tackle. He's also got some decent.
He's not the biggest dude.
You know, no. he's a la Cameron Smith, really. You know, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but he will just tackle his heart out.
Yeah. So he's probably a great utility. I just that to me, for, you know, like you said, Lomax and I think Dufty as well. I think, well, they got the majority of the tries anyway, except for Frizzell. The Dragons did what they had to do to sort of win that game, personally. So,
And once again, this is another game where it's come down to goal kicking. Like, Pappenhausen couldn't hit the side of two barns game. Like, it was unbelievable.
Pappenhausen isn't a noted goal kicker.
Am I wrong that he was the one that kicked the field goal against the Roosters?
No, you weren't wrong.
Up at Suncorp when they say that it was the greatest game of the year, and he looked like he put that foot on the ball for a field goal like he's been doing it forever.
But they should have done. They should have went with the person that when Cameron Smith was out, who kicked that one goal that they got, Nicho Hynes. Nicho Hynes was right.
Well, he was on the bench as well, so I guess he wasn't there for the whole time. But yeah, it's Melbourne scored, you know, essentially all of their first points inside the first half an hour.
And then couldn't get anything after that, and credit
to St. George, they stuck in the game, held on, did enough to get the W, and Brent Smith, like. You guys are just going to, if you, that store management and, you know, that man, they've got some huge calls. You cannot let Brandon Smith walk out the door.
No, I don't know. Let it happen. Sorry. Well, I should clarify. I'm not saying about store management, don't get me started for that, because you've got Brandon Smith and we've also got Harry Grant. It's about those goddamn, man, I'd love to swear, Broncos that are trying to poach not only our coach, but our CEO.
Does that just seem like it's coming across as entitlement? Hey, we're the Brisbane Broncos. We can get whoever the F we like. Like, we're not just going to go after, you know, a mediocre coach or anything like that. We're just going to go after one of the best coaches that's ever coached the game. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's ridiculous.
I love the Storm, because I follow Storm and everything. The Storm have come out, you know, they say the members sort of thing on Facebook and said, you know, not only, you know, it's happening and that's fine, but they're going to match it and also literally let, if they have to, let Bellamy live in Brisbane and just be a coaching director from Brisbane and still sign him to a 10-year deal if they have to.
Yeah, exactly. Paul Kent said they are not going to sit back and just let Brisbane take away Craig Bellamy. They're not just going to sit back and go, oh, well, we can't match that. See you later, Craig. It's been nice knowing you. Bye-bye.
But it's also, yeah, no, you're right. Clearly, Craig has already said this. Craig has clearly wants to move back to Queensland. And that's great. That's, you know, I'm glad he's looked into that. And that's fine. That's, you know, he's done his time down there. He wants to live back at home, and that's all good. I'm glad he's deserved it to me of at least, if that's what he's going to be, a coaching director, like to live back in Brisbane and then go back to Melbourne. It's the other one, the CEO, Dave Donaghy, who took over at 2015. He's been the one, you know, Bellamy aside, he's been the one that was able to sort of keep those core players as well. So, that's another reason I don't like Broncos. It's entitlement. You've said it right. It's entitlement.
I think that's at least 80% of it.
Yeah. No, I agree. I'm just like you were before. I'll just let rip on the Broncos. I just can't. It's an entitlement thing. I can't stand them. I'm glad they were lost and got the wooden spoon. We'll finish up on our studs and duds of the week. I tapped on my stud, like, if you want to move on to yours. Yeah, Cameron McGinnis has been great for Dragons all year. You know, I suppose he's fine there. He's 100% always going to have his position because they are going to lose a couple of players at the end of the year. They're a team that really needs to work out what they're doing. You know, they still got Jack DeBellin on the books and a couple others on the books. Paul Vaughan's another one that missed out on New South Wales squad.
Tyson Frizzell as well. They're losing him at the end of the year. Like, he's going to Newcastle. That's
a decent sort of loss. So
I think that's a big loss. That.
Talking about coaches that got their work cut out. Andy Griffin's got some work cut out for him. Did you have a start of the week?
Yeah. Look. You know, as much as I sort of talked about it before, that he essentially stole the try scoring. Record away from Kyle Feld this year, but Alex Johnston, like, it's the first two tries that he scored in the first half were electric, like they were terrific. Yeah, essentially gifted one try and then gifted two other tries in that second half by just absolutely just disgraceful defense. But you know, for him to finish, for him to finish on top the way that he was, being essentially five tries behind Kyle Feld just 24 hours after.
Four tries.
Yeah, look, I just don't think you can't sort of overlook that. Five tries in a game.
I was going to give it to him, and I honestly thought, just for you, I thought, I'm not going to give it to Alex Johnston because, you know, how dirty of him just to sort of pass Kyle Feld.
Don't get me wrong. I was filthy at it. There's no two ways about it, but... You don't just get. He got gifted one try, but you've still. He was gifted the one, but the other four were. The other four were terrific. You don't just waltz over the line.
You know, actually, speaking of Alex Johnston, he's still unsigned.
No, he's done a backflip. He wanted out.
Has he?
He's back in. He was going to shop himself around. He signed, I think it's a 2-year contract with South now, so he's back.
That's. Because that would have been a great pick, or a handy pickup for a lot of players. Then,
my God! Like, I was so hoping that the North Queensland Cowboys were going to serious chop at him. So not so much done a backflip, but South, I guess, are the ones that have done the backflip and said, "Oh no, hang on, yeah, you're kind of important to us. You're a good player, and we'll give you a 2-year contract."
Because it was a backflip, you're right, because I think I remember they were, South were in line, well, one of the many teams in Sydney in line for Addo Carr. And obviously that's not happened because I think they were going to do a swap deal for Alex Johnston and Addo Carr. And that's, he's backflipped because there was a report that Addo Carr were going to swap with Johnston and, Johnston then was going to accept a deal more than 100 grand more than what he was getting to move to Melbourne. So, if that's the case, before we move on to the duds of the week, you're right. It would have been a great pickup, but if that's the case, where does Dane Gagai sort of sit in that squad?
I think Gagai is a centre. Like, I think he's wasted on the wings. He's a waste on the wing. Yeah, when he the few years that he was in Newcastle, and I was filthy that he left Newcastle, like right on the cusp of them actually being good. You know, he was with Newcastle for those couple of wooden spoons that they had. Yeah, and he was one of their better players, but he was in the centres and he was really good. You know, they might throw him out on the wing for Origin and stuff like that. This year, he's probably going to get a gig in the centres.
Oh, yeah.
But he's a centre. He's got no choice. But he gets his hand on the ball a little bit more. I just like him better playing at centre than what I do out on the wing.
No, I agree. I mean,
say that the winger is a wasted position, but for him. As the player that he is, and the way that he sort of hits the ball up, and he's got that little bit of skill. He's still pretty quick, but I just feel that he's a better center than what he is as a winger.
I agree, because I think he has that sort of bit of ball skill, flick pass sort of in him to play off the center to pass to the winger. So I agree with that definitely.
He's still a good finisher, but I think center is his best position.
Did you have a dud of the week?
Look, a perfect transition from talking about Newcastle. That they were horrendous. Again, the gap for their good and their bad is so far apart this year.
Yeah,
and that they need to shore that up. Like when they're bad, they are just woof. Yeah. They can be just oh my god. Sometimes it's hard to watch. How bad they can be and how forced they look like they're trying to play football. But when they're on, like they are, they're exciting team to watch.
They can literally beat anybody. Yeah. You know, you've got your Mitchell Pearce, your Ponga, Clemmer. Like you're right. They're just, it's so up and down. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Like, and I know they've had a lot of positional changes and things like that as the year's gone on, with they're on their fourth string dummy half at the moment. You know, they've had certain players miss time with injury. The gap between them being good and bad is too much, and that'll be that they're going to be a total easy out for South this week as the finals come around.
100%. My data, I know they won and everything, but my dad, I'm sorry, goes to Josh Henne. Sure you are, because I read the comments, but I felt, and I'm not a Cowboys fan, but I felt absolutely dirty that Gavin Cooper, like just before the start of that game, was named number 12.
Oh, that was BS.
And was replaced by, I think, Tom Gilbert, which I'm not going at Tom Gilbert's great. He played great in that game, actually played really good in that game. But that's your final game. I know Henne's not going to be there next year. He's, confirmed he's not going to be there next year. But come on, that's ridiculous. Cooper.
Dean Young's coming in as an assistant for the Cowboys Todd Payton, which I think is a super pickup. Anyway.
Yeah, huge pickup. I
did not like that one bit. An hour before kickoff and Gavin Cooper gets shunted.
That's right. It was an hour before kickoff. I read a lot of Facebook comments, yours included in that. It's perplexing. I mean, like, again, sorry. Tom Gilbert played pretty good in that. I think he got nearly the most, except for obviously, Tom Lola. He played pretty good, but
he's a good young rookie. But
something happened there. That's ridiculous. Something happened in Josh Henne to change his mind. I don't get it. I couldn't get it. It doesn't make sense. And people, you could tell people were dirty. People were filthy.
Of course, you would be. So, you think his family would be filthy, that they flew down there and expecting him to run out there with the number 11 on his back and run out there, with the starters, and all of a sudden he's riding the pine. It was all well, and it was great to see him to be able to slot a goal, towards the end of it. I totally forgot he was a lefty. To be able to slot a goal at the end of the game there. I just haven't liked Josh Henne as an assistant coach, not so much an assistant, but what he's done at the Cowboys since Paul Green was unceremoniously dumped, because nothing changed.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. It was basically
it was just like he's just come in there with the same coaching philosophies. You could see the second game. I can't think of who the second game that he coached, and I think it might have been a close loss to somebody. Might have been the Warriors or somebody like that. I'd have to sort of flick back through. And at, towards the end of the game, he's got his head buried in his hands with 5 minutes to go already. He was out of ideas already. It was two games. He was out of ideas already. You could just see the frustration on his face, and he's just got his head buried in his hands. And it's just like, this guy, he doesn't want any part of being a head coach at all.
I just think, I agree. I think when they basically sacked Green and appointed Hanna, I just think they said, well, this season's over. It felt like that, to be honest. I wasn't happy that, you know, for someone's final game that's just there. It just felt wrong. It just wasn't sitting right with me personally. It just, yeah, I didn't like it. Not one bit. And I'm not a Cowboys fan. I'm a Cooper fan. I'm not a Cowboys fan. So.
Oh, no, love Coops.
Yeah.
Yeah, love Coops. I think I'm just sort of flicking back through. I'm pretty sure it was that game against Canberra where they lost 14-12. And he just couldn't figure out how, and that was a sloppy game too. Like, you know, North Queensland had every opportunity to win that game, and it was just the players win games, but you know, for them to sort of respond in the way they did after Greeny, you know, most times when you know a coach is unceremoniously axed, like you have a look at St. George, like the last game that McGregor coached, like they won for him, it just looked like. It was just, there was zero change in any structures defensively or offensively. And they just kept, it was just horrible. What did they end up losing? Like 9 straight. Like it just can't happen.
No, that's exactly right. No, they can't. Yeah, you're right. But that was just their season. So that's how I felt at least anyway.
No, that's right. Look, all right, just before we go, before we sort of sign off here too, like just listening to the the radio and Triple M over the weekend on their Saturday scrum program that they had before the 3 o'clock kickoff. They were talking about how great the Gold Coast have been, how Cronulla haven't beaten a top 8 side all year. That trend continued again versus Canberra. And they keep going back to this just completely harebrained idea of a wild card game at the end of the season where, you know, you have eighth versus ninth to essentially take it, to take in the final spot going into the playoffs. Like it just, can we just stop that? That is just the most ridiculous concept that you can come up with is stupid. Like this, you cannot reward mediocrity, and you cannot discard what teams have done early to start the season and throughout the middle of the season. It's this is a marathon. It's not a sprint.
That's exactly right.
You just can't just okay. So you punish teams for having a good start and a poor end to the season. And you're rewarding teams just because it's coming towards finals. You're rewarding teams by, oh, they just didn't quite make the 8. Oh, well, let's give them a shot to get into the 8. Nah, play better.
Yeah,
play better throughout the season. That's what I mean. You can't just give the Gold Coast come in hot, you know. Yeah, and who's right. to say the Gold Coast wouldn't have knocked off Cronulla in this imaginary fantasy land? The wild card game. It is just fantasy land. Like you can't reward that. They talk that rubbish in the NBA. Like there's 16 teams out of 30 that make the playoffs in the NBA. More than half. Like you just play better.
They're it's interesting you say that. They're doing that in the NFL this year too. So completely
but that's
to
different.
Me.
That's different because not it's you know it's divisional winners and then you've got a couple
exactly
of what. It's not half the league
that's right.
making the playoffs. They've done it this year with Major League Baseball as well. They've added a couple of extra playoff games, but it just means now that half the you can't reward me. That's what it all comes back to.
Mediocrity.
Like, yeah, just play better. Just play better.
I agree. If they were going to try something, they would have only tried it in this sort of disrupted season, but I don't think they needed to, clearly. The only thing it would have benefited is, Fox Sports and Channel 9 by, someone like Titans coming hot into the finals. That's all that would have benefited.
Yeah, but where do you play this so-called imaginary game? When do you play it? Do you play it midweek? When do you play card game?
They would have had to... they would have had to they would have had to work at it at the start of the year that they were to do this so they could.
What are you going to do? You're going to put the competition on hold for a week. Do you know what I mean? We're coming into finals this week. What are you going to do? That's unfair on the teams that go into this so-called wildcard game to play midweek and then have to go again and say if they play on a Wednesday, then have to go and play on a Sunday. This isn't an Origin where it's the best of the best, where it's where these are representative players. This is just first grade. That is unfair to play three games and it depends on when they actually play the game. So what happens if they play it on the Sunday, their last game of the season, then they have to play Wednesday, and then they do you know what I mean? Just stop it.
Well, it wouldn't make sense. Even if you just played that one game that week, that's one game.
What a waste.
Well, the broadcasters wouldn't go with it. So, you couldn't do it.
It's just not thought through.
Nah.
And it's dumb.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I agree. As great as it would have been to see the Gold Coast Titans in there because of how on the back end they played, they didn't do well enough during the whole season, which is the whole point at the end of the day.
They've had a bit of a hot end to the season. But if you go back and have a look at the ladder, they finished 9 wins. Cronulla finishes with 10, but they've got 117 points differential. Cronulla finishes on 0.
Yeah.
Just don't get whomped at the start of the season. Be competitive.
Yeah.
Instead of just getting your butts whooped at the start of the season, which is what the Gold Coast were, a bit of whipping boys sort of at the start of the year.
Yeah.
And then they started to get it together and play better. It was just stop it. Just stop it now. Like that little meme, that little Jordan meme where it's like, stop, get some help. End it now. Like it's 16 teams.
Yeah.
8 teams make the finals. That's it.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, that'll do it this week for the final round of the NRL. Don't forget to follow us on all the socials, which is Twitter and Facebook, and give us a like or check out our podcast on gimko.com.au, GIMKO, because you can give a like on there. You don't have to go through the great thing with that website as well if you're into cards. Besides that, is that you don't have to go through a streaming service. You can just listen to it straight on there, which is great. And you don't just a personal thing because I just tried it the other day. Is you don't have to have if you have a computer at home, all good, but you don't have to have the website open or the phone open to keep listening to it. It'll keep playing, so which is really good, handy.
That's terrific. Another one bites the dust. We're rapidly approaching 100. I guess next week too, what we'll do is we'll go through with the NRL. We'll sort of go through some of the teams that haven't made the finals and sort of give you a little bit of a breakdown, I guess, of what they could have done better. Some signings and stuff, and whether they're on the up or down or.
Yeah.
We'll give you a little bit of taste of what the better and stuff like that. So we'll do that over the coming weeks on when the final, when the finals are going to keep coming around. Or we've got finals now for the next 4 weeks and the grand final on the 28th. I think it's 28th of October.
Yeah. And then literally the week or so after, and then there's
State of Origin. So.
No, that's right. It's the fourth of November, I think, is State of Origin. So it's just it's just straight up it straight away. So that'd be. I think they're all Saturday. Are they Saturday nights?
They're all Saturdays. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they're all Saturdays.
All right, well, my name's Jason. I honestly have no idea what I'm thinking about, so I'm just going to say, let me say who played so well this week.
Well,
Jason, I'm sort of dirty that you have him, but Jason AJ Brimson Smith, because I'm dirty that he's a Queenslander. I mean, he's playing in Queensland besides that, but yeah, he's a good one. I know you've talked about him the whole year, but man, he's a good one.
And look, you hear people on TV and stuff like that too, where they go, oh, geez, the Queensland teams aren't doing so well this year. So the Queensland State of Origin team is only going to be made up of teams playing in teams from Queensland. Like, I'm pretty sure there's going to be, you know what I mean? Like, that's such a stupid correlation between how well, you know, Queensland representative players are. Yeah. And what Queensland club players are. That's a stupid correlation as well. And I'm Miles. We need to stop that thinking, Plum. Just stop it. Get some help.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Like,
yeah,
that's
well,
their job. I get it. Like, you know, they're in the media. That's their job. That's what they do all day, every day. And they need to sort of create, you know, conversations. And do you know what I mean? Like, they've got to talk about something.
Yeah,
but that's just not an option. It's just not. When do you put that's what I'll put to you. When do you play it?
Yeah, I know you can't.
Oh, well, good to have it. When do you play it?
You'd have to. The only way you could possibly do it, and you can't just have one game. So unless they play the like Samoa Tonga or something like that, unless you just play it on a wild card round by itself, because you can't play it midweek.
That's right. You can't do it midweek. I mean, it makes it even more unfair on the team that makes it into the eight. Because then you've just played another game midweek to make it into the eight, and then you've got to play the fifth team.
I think they'd have to play it like just on that game alone on the weekend with possibly like an international game on that same weekend.
That's ridiculous.
That's the only way to do it.
Yeah, so that's ridiculous as well.
That's ridiculous because... again, then that the team that finished eighth is disadvantaged because the other teams have had 2 weeks off, where they've only had the week off. So, yeah, of course
it's
disadvantaged.
Just stop it. End it now. End it.
if we're
still doing this in another 12 months, which I really hope we are, then, yeah, mark this episode down. So, yeah, are we gonna be talking about this again in 12 months?
Nah, we're not. No, I don't believe so. We can't.
I reckon.
It would all depend if we get more NRL teams in the fold.
That's a topic for another day with the expansion and stuff like that. It's good the way it is. All you're doing is diluting the talent pool.
I agree. It's good where it is, but I'm saying if they add a 17 side, which I don't think they will, but if they do, then you could possibly talk about that in that aspect.
No, that's right. Well, it'd be ideal to add two. Almost like what the AFL did. Come in and add two teams and not just one.
Boys. Yeah, you can't do it odd. I hate seeing buys like that. I think it's ridiculous.
We have buys throughout the season with representative and stuff like that. It's all well and good, but not just buys because, oh, we've got an uneven amount of teams. Like, that's where the AFL was smart, and that'll be the only time I'll ever say that. They brought in two teams, and that's what you've got to do. So, and even then, they still do a top eight, but you could entertain the thought of doing a wild card thing for 8 and 9, but once again, when do you play it?
Yeah. No, the AFL have done it well. Same as there, and I'm the same thing. I'm not the biggest AFL fan, but I still like the I love that they're draft. I love it. I love that the pool gets sort of spread evenly, if you know, depending on how great your side goes.
I really think rugby league needs to look in to something along those lines of a draft system. It's got to happen.
Yeah.
Because usually rugby league is competitive, and you don't normally get the same team at the bottom, in the bottom four around those for a long period of time, but it just seems to happen with the AFL a lot. You know, the top teams are always there, and the bottom teams are always poor. Like, it takes a long time for them to dig themselves out of that sort of, out of that shitstorm they have at the bottom of their ladder all the time. It's just weird. Like, you have a look at rugby league. It's very rare that you'll have the same team in the bottom four for, you know, 3 or 4 years.
But in saying that, like, if I look at the Brisbane Lions, an example, you know, were a terrible team, got great draft picks. Now they're, you know, in the finals.
That's how it's supposed to work.
Yeah, that's how it's supposed to. Well, like any draft, but I agree. All right, well, have a good week, everyone.
Enjoy the finals, everybody. Have no rooting interest whatsoever in this final, I'll be totally 100% objective. I do, but they're going to be done on Sunday anyway, so it doesn't matter. Enjoy the finals, and I'll be totally objective.
Who's going to be done on Sunday?
Newcastle.
Oh, Newcastle. Yeah, nice. Just follow Melbourne. You'll be sweet. Just for these finals. You'll be right.
Yeah, as much as that's a nice little invite, but
Okay, that's great. That's how I'm putting this. See ya.